And this chapter, just reading it there now, it brings home to what today we're pulled back on things which we cannot do, and we're due with less money today. We have less than we had before, but we're to go on. We're to move on. We're to live on our means, and we're to do things which we are not fussed on, but we have to. We have to live our lives before the Lord. And this morning, as we're considering this passage of Scripture, I wanted to think on something, because we're living in a land which it's against the gospel. It's against the things of God, and the Word of God's not held to anymore. And the title, and if you want the title for what I'm preaching on this morning, it is Living in a Land Where People Do Not Know God. I think it's very applicable, especially in today's age which we live. Because we're told today, we're told to live out what ways we think we should. We're told to sit back. We're told to hold our tongue. We're told to not say things that we think should be said. We're told to abide what everybody else says. Listen to them, even though we don't understand what they're saying. We're told to hide. Christianity is to hide back from the truth. Don't tell people the truth. But I believe wholeheartedly that we should stand up for the truth. Stand up for what God says, no matter what. Don't give up on our laurels. Don't give up on what the Word of God tells us. For if we do, then this land will diminish the farther. We need to stand up for God. We need to stand up for the day. And I was reading an article in a book which I'm reading. And there's this preacher. He came to Sunday school one day, just a surprise visit to the Sunday school. He wasn't the minister of that church, but he was the moderator. He walked in and he spied one young man. And he says, "Young man, when do you pray?" This was his answer. "I pray when mum and dad don't give me what I want." And that's only superficial praying. That's just praying because somebody's not giving you what you want. But it's always good to get what we need. And we need the Lord on our side. We need the Lord to be with us. Because if we're just praying to get what we want, then we're asking amiss. We're not asking as the Lord is telling us to ask. The problem with people today, and this is spread out through all of the Northern Ireland, United Kingdom and Europe and farther afield, is that people have no knowledge of the Word of God. People have no knowledge of what the Word of God tells us, and they've no fear of God anymore. As we come to this passage of Exodus chapter 5, we're going to see a man who stood out apart from the people of the land. A man who stood up, and his brothers stood alongside him. And they went forward, and they saw God work. There is a petition in this passage. And as Moses and Aaron come before Pharaoh, he has petition for worship and a petition that God's word would be heard. And there will one day be a great battle. People of Israel have to stand firm. And if they stood firm in the things which they believed in, then God would win the battle for them and God would overcome. But there are obstacles to overcome in every life. There's obstacles to overcome in every situation. It's a battlefield. Every day seems like a battlefield a day. But we're to place our trust in the Lord. Because the Lord has our ends mapped out already. But I ask you this morning, who is on the Lord's side? Whose side are you on? We are come to the Lord's house this morning. Many still sleep. Many still slumber. They don't want to hear what God is, God's word says. They don't want to hear what God's word is telling them. And they don't want to get instruction from the word of God. And they're becoming harder and harder to the things of God. And we wonder. And you wonder. And I'm thankful to the Lord for this congregation having young people which have a desire. Because we wonder, how are we going to reach the people of this area, of this land? But know this, that if we go and God has sent us, God will make those crooked ways straight. God will be our help as we stand there. And be encouraged. For God knows the ways which you're going to take. Just trust in Him. Live right. And one thing, be noticed in the area. Be noticed, not just for anything, but being noticed that you stand up for God. That's one of the most important things, if I could tell this congregation here, that you need to do today, is be a noted man or a woman, be a person who's honest, who's trustworthy, who stands up for what he believes in, and who loves the Lord, and the people around about you will know. You say, what will they know? They'll know that this is the attributes of a child of God. But as you consider this passage this morning, we consider together, let us think of the area, and let's think of Londonderry today. A massive area. Massive area with sin is in many corners. And I'm sure that you want to see it saved. You want to see people being won for Christ. Let us look, and we're going to see briefly this morning, as briefly as we can, because we've got communion afterwards, the table of the Lord. We're going to see the subject. We did not know God. In the verse 1a, it tells us, verse 1a and b, it tells us, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Before we continue, it's good to mark out those people that believe in God. But it's also good when you go into an area to mark out those, as such, you could say, as your target people, those who don't know God. It's good to know where people are. They don't know God, so you can say, well, I need to reach those people. So in the passage we've just read, in the first verse we read Moses and Aaron, we read Pharaoh, we read God, and then Israel. Who was it that did not know God? Was it Israel? Was it Moses? Or was it Aaron? Just at the beginning, let me eradicate one of them. In the chapter 4, in the verse 31, it tells us this word about the people of Israel. Tells us, and Moses believed, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. From the outside of this passage here, this children of Israel were not the people who did not know God, because the children of Israel, they began to worship God. They began to glory God. They're not the ones who we want to talk about. As I think of this land, if somebody hears good news and somebody hears something and they get together and they go for a drinking session, they get on to take and they get drunk and they do many ungodly things, and they say, this is the good news and this is us. But these people don't do this. First thing the people of God do when they hear that God's moving, they get down to worship. They get down to seeking the Lord, and they get down and they say, well, let's worship God. So they're not the people who do not know God. And then we've got Moses and Aaron here, particularly Moses. Moses has got an audience before the great king. Moses comes before the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's the leadership of the land. Moses comes in. Moses could glory in coming to see the king. He could glory in his position. He had only been sent there by God. As God told him, read it in the chapter 3, you'll find it,
God sent Moses into the land to go to Egypt to be the man for him. He could have gloried being recently sent there. He says, well, I glory there because I'm the man. But could it be Moses that's not we're talking about doesn't know God? For I think of Moses there, and Moses could have been in awe of the arena. He could have been in awe of the palace that was there amongst him, and he looked upon the palace and he looked at the grandeur of it and looked at the vast ground and the vast amenities and the superiority that Pharaoh had over all the community. He could have looked at Pharaoh and he could have worshipped Pharaoh because of his ability to rule over with his human power. But in a sense, I would say Moses maybe had a little awe. But in another sense, Moses wasn't in awe over Pharaoh. You see, whenever God met Moses in chapter 3, verse 2, it tells us, angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And I think it's up there, yeah. Ardens and verdants burning, but not consumed. Moses stood there. He was before someone. And you say, who was he before? Look at verse 14. And God said unto Moses, God speaks to Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moses stood before the great I am there at that burning bush. And being in the Lord's presence at that moment, he had to take off his shoes from where his feet was set on because it was holy ground. And Moses was in awe of the bush, and Moses was in awe of the God which is represented there in that bush. And Moses seen the bush not consumed, and Moses feared God. Moses, having talked with God, and God gave him the authority to go to lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt. And by giving the call, and giving the call of God, by fearing God, Moses would never look at a human man in the same fashion. For on that day in Mount Horeb, he was in the presence of a living God. And Moses feared God and feared his inadequacy. And he could not be the one we're talking about because Moses feared God. Yes, there was a time when Moses ran from Egypt. There was a time when he went away. You all know the story of how that he had to go and they killed that Egyptian and they had to run. Because he feared God. And Moses didn't like some of the people in Egypt. Do you know where God sent him? Back to Egypt. Moses feared. But God sent him back to Egypt. Moses was traveling upon a familiar territory. Traveling to a familiar place which he knew so well. Because God had sent him. See, Moses, and if you think of Moses, if you think of the truth and the story of Moses, he was happy. Happy to do the looking after the sheep. He's happy to work for his father-in-law. He's happy to do what he's been told. Happy to shepherd the flock. He's happy to shepherd the flock. But every moment and every step that he was taking, and every day of his life, was a stepping stone for God would lead him to shepherd the people. To shepherd the people. And if you can take that for this congregation here in Londonderry, you're searching out for a man sent from God. You're searching out for a man to shepherd this people, a man who has a burden that will go willfully because the Lord has sent him. And if it's any other man, may he run like Moses ran away from Egypt at that time. But may the Lord send someone of his choosing to his place, that they will go to serve the Lord and serve the Lord well. And Moses, because God called him, after much hesitation, Moses comes into the arena in chapter 5, verse 1. He doesn't doubt his call because he's seen God working, and God's told him. He's been awakened by the burning bush and child of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. No matter what your vocation, no matter what you do, and no matter what you've been doing so far, this question is important. Moses has been led by God. How has the Lord led you? And what are you doing for God where God has placed you? What are you doing for God? If you have entered, like I have, into the arena of May in 2015, we're here in this month of May. It's just begun, but we're in the arena. And we're not running away. We're not going anywhere. We're standing firm. Because we believe in the Word of God. No temptations come from the north. They come from the south, the east, and the west. The Bible tells us to not doubt the Word of God, but to stand firm, because the fire of God is within us. And God's love burns within us like it burned in that burning bush there in Moses' day. When a Pharaoh comes up, we can say, like one of our preachers preached on in the week of prayer last year, and one of our brethren here is very close to him, the Reverend Thomas Murray. He preached on being more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what we can be. More than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Because God burns within us. You know the palace of Egypt? I don't know if you know much about it. There was no expense held back. The palace is amazing. Statues hang everywhere. The grandeur. And for us, when you get a glimpse of it, if you really want a glimpse of it, you go and get a tour around the House of Lords. You go into the House of Lords and you'll see there where Queen Victoria set up set up that place in the House of Lords. And it is amazing. Small woman, but so much gold. It's amazing. If you ever get a chance, I would go and see it. It's only sort of a glimpse we're going to get to what the Egypt of old was like. And it was like that amazing. Amazing grandeur. And there's no expense held. You know, whenever Moses came in there and Aaron came in, there's a special room. Special place where Moses or where Pharaoh would meet his audiences. Special place where his audience would come in. Didn't have to speak to them all. Special audience, place for them. Moses knew God. I'm sure you figured that out already. He's not the one we're talking about. But now we're going to see the subject who did not know God. The subject is Pharaoh. Subject is Egyptian people. The Egyptian, the place of Egypt is known as the world. Is known to us as sin and despair. And Pharaoh was an ungodly figure. Pharaoh was an ungodly man throughout Egypt. And Moses comes in before this ungodly man. Yet this man comes in with confidence. It doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter who's standing in my way. I'm going to say the word in season. I'm going to tell it as it should be said. I'm going to break forth the word to tell them. And Moses comes in with God's message. You see, maybe you don't notice what Moses actually did there. You see how Moses came into that room that day? Moses came with a message that would never fail. He came in with the right words, the right message. The message wouldn't fall on deaf ears.
because that word would be effective. Maybe not immediately, but it would be effective. You know, I'm sure Moses found it strange that day. Wasn't it 40 years before Moses stood in the same palace? 40 years before he stood there and saw all them things. Maybe it's changed over the years. Maybe it's been little changes that have looked at. Maybe he looks around and Moses had an audience every day with Pharaoh if he had wanted. I'm sure Moses ate and drank and sat alongside them and relaxed alongside them, but he would have enjoyed the benefits. Really, it was familiar to him. Here he comes. Yes, he was part of the family at one time, but this Pharaoh doesn't know Moses. And he comes to Pharaoh with a message from an unknown God. You know, the Bible tells us that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And Moses was coming back to his own country. The country which he grew up in, the country which he lived in, the country which he talked to many ones in. And he was coming with a message which the people would not like. Because Moses came with a message, and this is the message. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. But maybe you haven't grasped it, and you haven't got where we're getting to yet. Say, where in the Bible, and what tells you that Pharaoh didn't know God? There's been many battles being fought in Pharaoh's name, and he's won many battles, and there's many pride, much pride upon him, and there's much other things there, and surely he's not that bad. No, but you're going to see Pharaoh had arrogant pride. Pharaoh comes with scorn in his voice and hatred in his voice. You know what he says in verse number 2? He says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And Pharaoh admits the charge that is set out before him in this passage, because he's flying the flag of deceit. He's flying the flag of defiance, just like many people today will do. And he knows nothing of what Moses and Aaron are speaking to him about, because he believes in himself. And he's captured by sin and those despair. Maybe there's something you haven't noticed in the words Pharaoh said before. And before I go forward, I want you to read those words, what he says. And he says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? So those words are something that every child of God should listen to. Those are words which we all should take upon. Yes, they're said by an ungodly man who doesn't love the Lord, but when he says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? The word obey should be a character of every child of God, or a characteristic. For they know God. And those that know the Lord should want to obey the Lord. And those that obey the Lord will want to do as the Lord tells us to do. And Pharaoh's thoughts could have been, obey God, Israel's God. But he didn't. Do you know what he was asking? Why? Why should I obey the God of slaves? Why should I obey the God of slavery? Should I obey them? He says, no. Sure, aren't the Egyptians better? Don't we rule over the people of Israel? Don't we rule over them? And sure, aren't we better? And that's just like this world today. They think that godliness is dumb. They don't get what the Word of God says, and they won't obey God's Word. And you know what else they won't do? They won't come to church. Because they think they're bigger than the church. They think they're bigger than God. And God's not first in their lives. And child of God, this morning,
whatever you do, whatever you say, place God first in your lives. For too many people are placing God second or third or fourth, and they're saying the Bible's only a story. And let me categorically say that from safe in the pulpit, that no, and that's one thing, I think I said it one time here before, and I say it often in my own home, in my own congregation, I tell them that never tell children that we're going to turn to a story this day. Never tell anybody you're going to turn to a story in the Word of God, because there's no stories in the Word of God. There's only truths. Story in our dictionary tells us that it's a fabrication, a fiction. And Moses wasn't coming with some fiction or story. Moses was coming with a truth, because God had given him the word to tell him. And God has given us a word. Don't just say anything else, but come with the words. People don't have God first in their lives. Claim the Bible is only a story, and sin has captured their heart. And I know it has mine. But has it broke your heart yet? Doesn't that break your heart? There's so many ungodly. And as even as we're coming down this morning, it's over the radio waves, they always put one of the churches on. And it happened to be a church from Londonderry this week. I'm not going to name it, But they never told anybody they needed to be saved. Never told anybody that they needed to go to heaven, they needed to get to heaven. But the only way they could get there was through Christ alone. They never told anybody that there was a truthful message. I listened to it. And there was more singing, by certain people rather than the preaching. And there was more, actually there wasn't any preaching. Some person spoke for 5 minutes at most and talked more about a song and then went back to a song again. And it should break your heart. I know it breaks mine. And I've often remember of the times which I spent here, as our brother mentioned, going round doors, and someone told me about, they go to a church in this area with an evangelical minister, and I'll not tell you who it is, but all I can tell you is that he used to be the moderator of one of the churches. You know what they told me? My minister doesn't tell me that we need to be born again. You know what I want to say? Shame on that minister. Shame on that minister. Because we're to come with the Word of God. And I heard this lately. People today, they say that we will get saved and change the gospel. No. My Bible tells me that the gospel changes lives, not that we're to change the gospel. If the gospel's changed in somewhere else, if somebody else is worshiping somewhere else where they're changing the gospel, make it your endeavor to get them under the preaching of the word here. Not just that they'd be free Presbyterians, but they would know what the word of God says. That they would know. Child of God this morning, be effective in the things of God. Be known as a person which tells it how it is. Be known for being a person that tells the truth. Being known as a person who's a servant of God that the people will want to hear. See, Pharaoh and his life. Pharaoh's life was towards himself. You know, Pharaoh thought he was the child of a sun god. He thought he was greater than anybody else. But he was nothing in the eyes of the Lord. He only thought he was big amongst the people, but he was only minute in God's eyes. And though he had many advisors, though he had many people which saw it and told him, though he made many decisions and he could do anything, and they thought that no one's word was better than his. I say, how dare anyone to think there is another God or their words are better than God, because God's word is final. God's word is final. Pharaoh answered to no one. He's the only God that should be there, he feels. His heart was gloating in his own glory. Pharaoh ruled the land of Egypt. Pharaoh prospered even though others didn't prosper. And I wonder why sometimes. I wonder why those that are grasped by sin, they prosper more. But God would soon see, people would good soon see God at work. For because Moses stood firm, God would take the children of Israel out of Egypt. God would move. See, this Pharaoh hadn't seen Joseph and the God of Joseph. They hadn't seen how God worked. He hadn't seen, and that's in Genesis chapter 45 and 46. You'll see it if you want to read it yourself. He never seen the miracles. He never seen the hand of God upon a messenger. Pharaoh doesn't know these things. He glorifies his own name. You know what he does? He leaves out God. He makes the children of Israel slaves. And they're under some ungodly people, and they wonder why. Wonder why. But know that we know the end of the word of God. And we win because we'll be in glory. And God will judge those who don't love him, and those that stand up for sin and despair, and those that are standing up for things today which aren't right. That's why I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that he answered our prayers over the last 2 weeks ago. There, whenever he brought down that bill that was before our assembly, even our week, as the Lord preserved marriage of man and woman. I thank the Lord for such things. See, we sometimes feel we're slaves. There's so many against us, we wonder how we can get over. But always remember, God's in control. For God was in control of what everything that Moses would say and everything that Pharaoh would say back to him. King Pharaoh didn't know God. He refused. He refused point blankly to believe what God's servant said. He refused to believe their plea. He just says, I think you just want to go away from your labors. But no, it was much more. Moses was coming because God had sent him. So who was the person which didn't know God? Who was the subject who didn't know God? Pharaoh. And there's many pharaohs in this land today. And they think they're something and they don't know God. And they think they're against other things. And they're murdering many people even today. And even that's talking about abortion. Murdering, I think it said UK murders about 3 million a year. May we surely stand up for God in this day, that when we come with the message, we come with the message because it's in God's word. That people can't say, that was just you making that up. But you can back it up with scriptures and say, this is what God says, because God's word's true. Hold to the book. Don't deter from it. Don't say, well, this day I'll try and see what I can do there. Trust what God says. Moses trusted God. And you can read through the rest of the chapters. God delivered the children of Israel. Took them through the waters of that Red Sea. See, when they got to the other side, you know what happens? They rejoice. Why do they rejoice?
Because God led them. Because God led them. May we always be led, known to be led of God, knowing to stand up, because our God reigns and our God lives.